Good morning.
Good morning.
Quite a different Sunday from last Sunday, right? You're out of power and pouring rain and still a little cold.
Good to see you.
So, I'd like to dedicate my words today to Jiro. Who's given me ample opportunity to say I'm sorry. Tea teaching and otherwise. These talks, these four talks that I've been pretentious enough to offer, are designed to be helpful. They're kind of mantra. I don't know. I'm sorry. Thank you. I love you. They're kind of like the precepts, the Eightfold Path, all of these guides for us along our way. And these short sentences are designed just as reminders. We can rest in and dwell in and use as help for this auspicious human life that we live. It seems, speaking of auspicious times, it seems an auspicious time to offer a talk on I'm sorry. We've got the new year approaching, time for reflection and considering ways in which we've suffered and have caused suffering. It's also a time of the full moon, which is the occasion for full moon ceremonies, atonement and rededication to our vows as bodhisattvas. So there's a kind of confluence of auspicious moment to consider this I'm sorry. The verse of atonement or repentance that is recited at the full moon ceremony is all my past and harmful karma, born from beginningless greed, anger, and delusion, through body, speech, and mind, I now fully avow. This is in Japanese, it's the Ryaku Fusatsu ceremony. It's sort of a simple commitment to continuing good practice and refraining from causing suffering whenever we can. So there are three components to this ceremony, a confession, an atonement, and a reaffirmation of our intention to do better, to do our best. For me, the confession here is quite simple. It's I am human. I am human. It doesn't read, I am just human, or I am a flawed human being, or I am an imperfect human being. As if we could be anything else. We say, I'm just human, I'm flawed, as if I couldn't be flawed. So we're apologizing for something that we couldn't be anyway. When I was teaching at Penn State University, I was teaching environmental health and encouraging activism on the part of my students. And I would typically hear things like, but I'm just one person. Just one? What can I do? I'm just this. And I would say to them, just cross out the word just. I am one person, and I can make a one-person difference. And that is significant. The just is an excuse for paralysis. I'm just one person. What can I do? And therefore, I don't do anything. So when we say, I'm just human, it can be read as, well, what do you expect from me? Just kind of give up, because I can never really be fully what is expected of me and what is expected of you. To be human, that's all. Just to be human, whatever that means. So this confession is, I am human. It's not a penitent stance. It's not, oh, poor me, I'm just human, I'm flawed, I'm imperfect. It's, this is who I am. It's a statement of reality. It's not moralistic, and it's not apologetic in the moralistic sense. It's a recognition of reality. So I confess that this is who I am. I am not omniscient. I don't know everything. I am not omnipotent. I have control over practically nothing. I'm barely at my next breath. And if I intend to think a thought in a minute, I haven't control over that. We know that as we sit, what we can control. So I don't know it all. I don't have power over anything, really. And, I'm not omnipresent. I can't be everywhere. So fundamentally, I confess, I'm not God. I'm not God. I'm human. And I have limits. And because of those limits, you can expect that before the ink is dry, I'm going to make a mistake. It's just the way it is. And this puts me in a place of, you might say, humility. And so when I say I'm sorry, I am saying, oh, I didn't see that. Oh, I didn't understand that. Oh, I couldn't control that. It's saying I'm human. And it's something that one says from the heart. Where else would it come from? I'm human. And so atonement, if you kind of deconstruct the word, at one meant. So when you are saying you're sorry, you are becoming one, at one with who you are, human. And I know that when I say I'm sorry, I feel at one with my humanity. It actually feels quite wonderful to say, I'm sorry. It, when you say it, it kind of dissolves that ego and you settle in to your humanity, to your oneness with who you are and to your oneness with others, to whom you are confessing your humanity. The other night, Kathy came down to my room just to say, I'm sorry. And as far as I was concerned, she had nothing to apologize for. There was nothing she did or said, but there was something about needing to become one. There was that sense of separation, and it was something she was feeling in her heart. And so she made her way down to my room to become one again. No separation with your sense of discomfort with yourself and with me. And so that felt really good. And it had nothing to do with whether she was to blame for anything. It has nothing to do. You say you're sorry, and someone says, well, you have nothing to be sorry for. That's irrelevant. Whether you're really to blame for anything, that's an irrelevant matter. If you're human, you're implicated in everyone's suffering. And so it's always appropriate to say, I'm sorry. Whenever you feel someone else is suffering, regardless of what you did or didn't do. It's like when we see some kind of tragic event and we feel, I'm sorry, I didn't do it, I don't have to. But we're implicated. And so when we confess our humanity, then we can atone. We can become one with that humanity and reach out to to others with these words, "I'm sorry." A couple of months ago, I was in Pennsylvania with my Sangha, and I usually do the flower arrangements for the altar at Owan Zendo, where I practice. And I was rushed Sunday morning and hadn't gotten the arrangement made. And so I slipped into a greenhouse that we have in my community. I live in an intentional community, and we have two big greenhouses. And one of the greenhouses is dedicated to flower growing. And a woman tends the flowers in that greenhouse and often brings them to market. And I just had to go in there and pick a couple flowers that did not belong to me. But, and I knew, I could feel, this is not right. I mean, you don't have to carry the precepts around with you to know what's right and what's wrong and what's wholesome and skillful and what is unwholesome. It's our birthright. It's the nature of our humanity to know this, if we're in touch with it. That's the key. We've lost touch with, ooh, this feels really bad. This doesn't feel good. And as I'm going to the greenhouse, I know this does not feel good. Not feel good. But I'm just going to push forward. I'm just going to do this thing. And of course, as I was doing it, I was making all kinds of excuses. Oh, her chickens ate all my seedlings. I deserve a couple of flowers. You know? I mean, who do flowers belong to anyway? They don't belong to anybody. Probably, you know, they're community property. And you know, she takes too much room in the greenhouse. I mean, the whole, I don't. Just generating all kinds of excuses. Knowing right in here in the pit of my stomach that was wrong. And so I just went ahead, picked the flowers, and she entered. Mm-hmm. And she came up to me and said, "Mado," she said, "if you would have asked, I would have been happy to give you some flowers." Oh, God, did that make me happy. See, I'm confessing to you. Thank you. There was the flowers. What I had to do was ask. And I could feel welling up in me, really, a genuine, genuine sense of, "I'm sorry. I'm really sorry." And I said that. I said, "Debbie, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry." And I was going to give her back the flowers. Maybe they were already picked and everything, not terribly useful to her anymore. And she said, take the flowers. And I took them and I put them on the altar as an emblem of practice. And I tried to stay with the feeling of, I tried to understand what I was doing. And I realized that while I was going to pick those flowers, I felt invincible. It was like, I can do anything. I can break any rule. I'm special. I felt very powerful when I was going to break rules, when I was going to do something that I really wasn't supposed to do. And it was like, yeah, you can do it. Go ahead. You can get away with it. Go forward. And this ego was like, yes, I'm rebelling. I'm just doing what I want to do. It doesn't matter. And this inflated ego, and it was like, you're the flowers. And I felt very kind of isolated and apart from everything. It was like I was Napoleon. I could do anything. And then as soon as she showed up, it was like, boom! I was nothing. And as soon as I said I was sorry, everything was right. It's like, everything is like focusing a lens. It's like, okay, said I'm sorry, and now it's all as it should be. And I felt reconnected. The unwholesome, unskillful state was disconnection. Me, I'm floating here. I can do anything. Nothing bothers me. I can. But I'm sorry is I'm human. I'm connected. Everything was set right at that moment. And she looked at me, and I looked at her, and we were okay with one another. And I went home, took the flowers, put them on the altar, and then later on in the day, I felt I had to do something else. It wasn't quite sufficient. And so I put a $10 bill in an envelope and wrote on the envelope, "I'm so sorry." And gave it to Debbie. It wasn't quite the best thing I could have done. I thought of it as, okay, she would have made $10 on a bouquet if she had brought those flowers to market. And so I could have given her some homemade jam or offered to walk her dog, or I could have done a whole range of things. In a way, it didn't really matter what it was that I did, except that I needed to do something more, which for me was perhaps this, you could say, a recommitment to doing better. So there is this confession. There is this atonement. I'm sorry. And I'm going to try my best to do better, to be more deeply connected with everyone and everything. When we do ceremonial tea and you are served a bowl of tea, you pick up the bowl and you set it beside you and you bow to the person next to you and say, "I'm sorry for going first." And that always... And the other day, Giroux said to me, "That didn't sound genuine to me." When I said, I'm sorry for going first. He said, that didn't sound genuine. You get in touch. You didn't say get in touch, but you said, do it again. And I was never quite comfortable or clear as to what was that was all about. Why I had to say, was this just one of these Japanese formalities that you just had to do if you were going to be politically correct. So you, okay, I'm sorry for going first. Just eat your sweet and drink your tea. Which is what we were really there for. And so because I respect Giroux, I have profound respect for him, and know that everything he says to me needs to be taken seriously. I asked myself, what does this mean? I'm sorry for going first. Why do I have to, what is that all about? And for myself, it has become about no separation. I'm sorry for being separate from you, for occupying a place of privilege. Our boundaries are not separate. So the bowl goes here. It's here between us. We're in relation to each other. I'm sorry if it appears that I'm separate from you and that I'm drinking this bowl of tea. It's not me. This is our experience. So, thank you. I didn't know. I'm sorry for not knowing that. And now I'm beginning to know better. And pausing before I simply go into the automatic pilot mode of, I'm sorry for going before you. Sorry, if it seems like I'm separate, or I'm different, or I'm even first. I'm not first. It's not about being first. Something very different. So I'm sorry is very rich and complex. I wonder if. And seems quite natural, although I'm realizing right at this moment that sometimes we have to instruct children, say you're sorry. even our next week's talk, thank you. Say thank you. Remember to say thank you. Remember to say you're sorry. I wonder if it would be natural for us to, whether we would have to tell our children and others, say thank you, say you're sorry, or whether this would be, if we were deeply educated into our true nature and felt our humanity most of the time, whether this would be the most natural thing and we wouldn't have to say you're sorry. It's complex and profound. This confession, I'm human. This atonement, I'm sorry. And this rededication, reavowal, I will try my best. I'd like to invite you to. I'm sorry for going first. To invite you to offer
thank you for sharing your tea experience. Because I've never really known, understood that too. So that was great.
Good.
And I really, that one thing that you talked about has always gotten on my nerves. When you're sorry for someone's hurt, you're sorry for the grief they're going through. And when people say it's not your fault, that's just always been an irritant of mine because it doesn't take away from the fact how I feel. Mm-hmm. So I love it. You know, that's not so off the wall.
No. It seems because you're in touch with a deeper humanity that has nothing to do with praise or blame. It has to do with a sense of empathy with suffering, with the suffering of others, and the feeling of wishing that that suffering were relieved, and that in some way, because you're human, you're involved in it.
That's a beautiful way to describe that.
Stealing flowers are in good company. I read a poem about Ryokan, and he stole flowers from some garden, and then somebody wrote a poem about it, and then they sent the poem to him. And the note was that this, in Japan, maybe you can say something about it. There is some appreciation of flower stealers. They're sort of in a special class of thief.
Oh, that makes me feel so much better. Now I'm special again.
Specialist.
Specialist. It does take great skill not to get caught.
I have a question about tea ceremony. Why, instead of saying I'm sorry, does the first person not offer to the second person the bowl?
Well, it seems like it's perhaps depending on the teacher and on the school, what it is you actually say. Can you do that? I was serving tea once, and the guest who was from Japan, he put the bowl by his neighbor and said, "Would you like this bowl of tea?" And that neighbor had never been to tea before, and he said, "Yes, I'd like it." So there's some latitude in what you say.
So, it was rude of the second one to accept the offer? Is that in the refined manners of tea ceremony? Was that a rude thing to do, to accept it?
No, it's just not expected, because it's a kind of form.
So, if you don't know the form, then you're going to be involuntarily rude.
But it can be enjoyed, because everybody realizes that person is not familiar, so it was enjoyable, actually.
Yeah, so that's a function of being human, not knowing everything. Mm-hmm. So this person didn't know. And so everyone else at tea was given the opportunity to become human, too, and enjoy the not knowing.
Another story about Ryokan was that he was at a tea one time, and somehow he got served his tea, and he of the tea and you drank it all. And in this particular ceremony, it was sort of like you take a sip and you pass it. So he, realizing that, spit it back out.
Oh,
oh
my Lord.
Well, there are limits.
The next person when they were drinking, they chanted industriously, Namamira Buddha, Namamira Buddha.
The forms are a method. Tea ceremony, different Buddhist tradition. When the Buddha appeared, there was no Buddhism. There was no ism. These tea ceremonies were developed by masters to cultivate mindfulness. And the spontaneity is wonderful because it's an opening. And so it's another opportunity for the expression of humanity.
Of what?
Our humanity, which has as its nature this aware, awake possibility when we're in touch with it.
Can you be spontaneous without breaking a rule?
You can be you. And you're, if you're, as our teacher was saying, in touch, you have your guidance. You know.
I'd just like to thank you for your teaching and your story, your vulnerability, and that sharing is very precious. Mm-hmm. And it's very useful for me. And I really appreciate the reminder of the at-one-ment and being human. Saying I'm sorry doesn't mean you've done something wrong,
right?
But that you wanna reconnect.
Right. Beautiful. You should have gone first. You've said it all in very beautifully.
Thank you.